After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
What a day. What a day. We always said that Scottish Cup semi-final weekend is one of the highlights of the Scottish football calendar, but this did not disappoint. It was a six goal thriller. It went to extra time. It went to penalties. Goalkeepers were missing penalties. The other goalie was taking cramp during the shootout. It had everything. And Celtic are through to the Scottish Cup final. Who will join them? Will it be Rangers or Hearts? Will we find out that bit tomorrow? Would you take even a third of the drama?
Oh yeah. Yeah, because a third of the drama would make it an outstanding occasion. What we witnessed, I do not think, final or semi-final, I do not think the excitement level has ever, in the 150-year history of the competition, been surpassed by what we saw between Aberdeen and Celtic today.
Yeah, it was pretty special, there's no doubt about that. Both sets of players, you know, credit to them for the show that they put on. And just so much tension around the stadium from both sets of supporters. I mean, and angst from the Aberdeen fans who, by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them actually started departing the ground before they got their first equaliser and then their second equaliser in extra time, because it was that close to being over. For the Celtic fans who've called in already, they've explained how nervous they were at the game. But that's what football should be. It should be that feeling that you go home and go, wow, what an experience, a cup final to look forward to for the Celtic fans. But for the Aberdeen fans, they should take credit, and they will survive. If they play like that, there's no doubt they won't be in relegation. But a fantastic game of football.
Yeah, it took both sides, and they both played their part. I thought everything today, 3 hours of great entertainment. Would we take a third of that tomorrow? Absolutely, but we never know what we're going to get. Rangers and Hearts could turn out just as exciting.
We will see. Let's go for Stuart, because we've not had an Aberdeen perspective yet. He's a Dons fan. He must be proud of the effort, Stuart.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought we were great. We battled well. Substitutions were great for leaving. Hoylett made a difference, maybe could have scored, but my principal point here is I can take the Scales penalty because it bounced up and hit his hand, but the Carter Vickers karate kick, maybe I don't understand the rules, but in what world is that not a penalty?
No, I think I'd imagine your understanding of the rules is good, Stuart. I think procedurally we probably have to remind ourselves, but that might not change things for people. There was a lot of confusion around this. Don Robertson gives a free kick for the aerial challenge on Alistair Johnson. You called it, Mark. If you watch it back, he blows his whistle, he then points the other way, he gives the free kick. So at that point, the VAR would be looking for, has a clear and obvious error been made there? Should it have then resulted in a penalty? And they've obviously concluded that that wasn't the case. So I know this is annoying, it sounds like I'm splitting hairs, that the actual debate really is, was that a foul on Alistair Johnson? The debate doesn't really become, was it a foul by Cameron Carter-Vickers?
Yeah.
Because we can't package it that way because of the order that the referee made the decisions in. Now, what adds a bit more confusion to that is Don Robertson does take his time and he gives the free kick after the Carter-Vickers challenge. But I don't know, you hear all this stuff about, well, you know, encouraged to kind of take your time and make sure you get it right and whatever. Maybe that's for another day. That doesn't mean Stuart's not got the right to feel hard done by. Was there enough in that challenge by on Alistair Johnson?
Well, that is the debatable bit, because you're right in how you explained it. Once a foul's given, it has to be looked at. Was it a clear and obvious error? And in my opinion, no, it wasn't. I think there was a push on Johnson. I think the foul was merited. I really do. I do think Johnson's up. I think Hoylett just leans into him, and there was enough to put him down.
They do both sort of miss the ball. You know, you see the ones where Johnson rises, heads it away, then yeah, Hoylett comes into him. They tend to be given, but they both kind of miss the ball.
I don't doubt that, because he did miss the ball, but I still think you can foul a player until you aren't getting there. But it was an extraordinary situation, just because, not blaming the broadcaster, but the way the camera worked and kept changing away from the referee. You seen him pointing one way, And then it almost looked like he was pointing to the spot as well.
Is we were watching it in the pub, and yeah. I thought he pointed for a penalty.
Well, he did, Stuart. I think because I just saw like a further back view, if you like. I think he points, but that's what you do, isn't it?
When there's a free kick,
believe it or not. I know I try to pretend I know the rules. I don't really know hand gestures, but I think you point to the incident and then point the other way. But it so happens that the incident takes place near where the penalty spot is, and it looks like he's pointing. But Stuart, I mean, the question, you're still entitled to feel aggrieved, because was there enough of a foul on Alistair Johnson?
Well, debatable, but I mean, if you're back at the scales one, which we discussed this, that I think I don't fully understand the rules, but the ball bounced up and it hit the palm of his hand. So technically, is that a penalty?
I think it was outside the box, Stuart, was the conclusion they came to.
The conclusion, right. Yeah. So, yeah, but I'm not aggrieved. We played well, but I think the whole thing this season with VAR, it's not helping, right? I mean, it just let the referee make the decision. And, you know, whether it goes against us or not, it's, you know, that should be the way it is.
I know, but then, Stuart, sometimes you're allowed to... Don Robertson did make the decision. Yeah. That's the problem then. And this is where we find it hard, all of us, to make sweeping statements, because Stuart, I think, is perfectly entitled to feel aggrieved. I'm not offended by that. But if Stuart wants just let the referee make the decision and get on with it, well, Don Robertson gave a free kick against Hoylett for the challenge on Johnson, so then the goal doesn't stand.
I, you know, it's all a matter of personal interpretation. Having a look at it, I don't think there's a foul there.
You think Aberdeen are hard done by?
Yeah.
Gordon?
I'm going to side with you. I watched it over and over again, and if I was Aberdeen, I would feel very hard done by.
This doesn't make it okay. This doesn't mean you're not allowed to phone in and complain about it. I suppose there's a form of justice there then, in the sense that that doesn't cost Aberdeen. You know, as an example, if they don't pop up with the late equaliser, then our phone lines are red hot, because that people will say that decision has cost Aberdeen. It didn't happen in that regard. Like I say, you're still allowed to complain about the decision, but maybe that softens the blow a bit.
Yeah, I think it does. I think the fact that Stuart's quite right to come on, he's very proud of his team. I thought with the season league campion Aberdeen's had, they showed brilliant character today. I said it at, what time? 12:15 this afternoon, it's that long. That you look at that Aberdeen team in paper, they've got some real good players there. They've underachieved, but you couldn't throw that label at them this afternoon. I thought they were excellent. They were part of what we were all talking about, a terrific game. But congratulations to Celtic.
Funny old season, Stuart. League Cup finalist, Scottish Cup semi-finalist, and did ever so well on the day. Some pretty good performances and results in Europe, and not yet safe from the relegation playoffs. Figure that out for us.
Yeah, well, not safe. I think leaving will get us over the line. We look forward to next season with Jimmy coming in and... you know, onwards and upwards, but we ain't safe. We need to grind out a few results and let's see what happens.
Good man, Stuart. You enjoyed your afternoon despite the heartache at the end. That was Stuart, an Aberdeen fan, and good on him for getting in touch and making some very important points. I just found a magic eight ball in the studio. Remember those?
Yeah.
What football related questions do you want to ask me? Because this has to be better than Hugh Keevan's predictions.
Oh.
It has to be. Go on, what are you giving me?
Who will win the next semi-final?
Somebody
that would be impressive.
Magic eight ball works.
Will Rangers win the treble?
Will Rangers win the treble? Right, okay. Let's see. Can't even make it out.
That's a no.
No, hold on. Unlikely.
I would agree.
It's just yes, no, unlikely, maybe.
Well, it doesn't have Hearts or Rangers written in it, does it?
That's not much that a magic ball,
then,
is it?
It has to be yes or no question.
It's no David Copperfield.
I thought it was a Google type thing.
Oh my goodness. It's a magic 8-ball. It's the most basic piece of technology ever.
I've never seen one of those.
Will Partick Thistle come up?
Oh, okay. So it's funny to keep this. Very likely.
Oh, nice. Well done.
Didn't
the eight ball
it. Maybe one for tomorrow. Specifically,
will Rangers win the semi-final?
Ooh,
focus and ask again later.
Some big needs to wait to see the teams.
Exactly. The magic eight ball needs to know if Rid van Yilmaz makes it. Where did that come from? What's it doing in here? Anyway, do we hear from Brendan Rodgers, anyone?
Yes.
Okay. Here he is on, we just start with the Joe Hart penalty and get it out the way. He spoke about many things, but here is what he had to say on his goalie taking and missing a spot kick.
He was, we've obviously looked at that over the last couple of days, and he was one of the designated takers on the fifth one. I think he's obviously trying to get it as wide as he can. He sees their goalkeeper is injured, so he's trying to move him as much as he can in the goal. But then his mentality lets it go and comes up and makes the crucial save for us, which is so, so important. But fantastic game. I said to the players that never mind football sessions over these next couple of days, we need therapy sessions after that, and that'll hold us in good stead now going forward.
Well, yeah, because the alternative would have set a negative tone for the beginning of the post-split fixtures. Having listened to what he said about Joe Hart specifically, I wouldn't doubt him. I still think when you look at the quality of the penalties that came thereafter, and I am taking into account the fact that Roos in the Aberdeen goal was suffering from cramp, but it still jars with me that a goalkeeper is preferred to outfield players for the penalty that stands between you and the cup final.
Yeah, I think both can be true probably, Mark, but it's allowed to jar, but the fact that it was pre-planned makes it a bit more understandable, maybe. Yeah, like, you don't have to agree with it, but if it was a sort of random on the day notion, that would make you worry a bit more. And as always with these things, it's the end result. He's not miles away from scoring, and then nobody's having this discussion.
No, well, you know what it shows? It shows the preparation that goes into to teams. You know, not just Celtic, but Aberdeen would have been the same. You know, they're thinking of worst case scenarios, that this could go to penalties, and let's look who our penalty takers are midweek. So huge preparations go into fixtures like these, and when it comes into the moment like it did today, yeah, nothing's taken by chance. And look, the best players miss penalties. We saw it midweek, you know, so for a goalkeeper to miss it, it was odd him taking that. I even thought his technique looked a bit odd. I thought he was just going to put his laces through it and go right down the middle. He missed it, but the important thing, of course, he saves.
Because I'm nosy, I'd like to know more, Gordon. We practiced him during the week, and he was always one of the designated. Is that the same as we practiced during the week, and he was one of the best?
Probably.
Yeah.
I think we're getting caught up in this. I've not got a problem.
I know it's a bit of fun at this stage.
Yeah, it's only because of the goalkeeper. But one, I don't think it's that bad. I think it's a good penalty, apart from it hits the post, right?
Not that good then.
Not that good, right? Let me finish. But I'm not getting caught up in the fact that Joe Hart stood up there and took a penalty kick. One, they'd already arranged it. He was confident. He looked confident. But then you've got to give him all the credit in the world.
He saves
the one that puts him in
the funny thing. You know what's ironic? I was going to say, the picture circulating of Joe Hart saving a Ronaldinho penalty. Did you see it?
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah. At the exact same kind of penalty saves today. So just
that ends up a good double save, that one. I think
it does, but it's weird how in that week then he's got that and he plays such an important part in missing a penalty as well.
When we realised it was going to penalties, and I said at the time, you know, they're not Celtic's 40 penalty kicks, and yet Ida, Palmer, O'Reilly, Johnson, Iwata took very, very good penalties. Paolo Bernardo got a bit lucky.
It was a close one, wasn't it?
And Joe Hart missed.
And that's right, by the way. If you are wondering what you just heard, Killian Phillips, I think, was just compared to Ronaldinho by Mark Wilson. Yeah. That's what I'm taking from it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's go back to James. James is on the line. James, how did you cope with that one today?
Very difficult to watch it as a Celtic supporter, you know. But having said that, you know, it was great. It was a great viewing, you know. All credit to the company that televised it and put it on and all that, you know. But the guy was phoned in before and he said, I honestly thought, I just got caught it late, you know, I thought he was a Rangers supporter, but turns out he was an Aberdeen supporter. But what he said was that Aberdeen should have had the penalty. But, and then he said, yeah, what was said was that the one pair, the two of them missed the ball, right? And it was because Johnson got pushed and he missed the ball. Another guy pushed him so that he would miss the ball. you know.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I wasn't necessarily saying I thought it was a terrible decision. It was just more really to try and analyse the different parts of it. I mean, I'll show the three of you again right now if you want to get right. one more go at it. The more I see it, I can kind of see both sides, to be honest, but that's in my nature.
Still for me, yeah. That's a foul. That's a foul barging into the back of Johnson. Yeah, I've got to change my mind on that one.
Gordon DL.
I'm still on the fence with him.
Well, you weren't on the fence.
You weren't on the fence. She says no.
Yeah. So you've came back.
No.
He's climbing. He's climbing back over. You want to look at it again?
Well, that fence looks shaky.
What I will
say
is, I still think he's
hurt
Aberdeen.
I still think it's not a foul. And also, I use the simple rule of thumb. If James had watched that and it was the other way around, he'd have been screaming.
I know, but I that rule of thumb's interesting because people admit, I think, that they're biased, don't they? James, you got there in the end, though. Is that the be-all and end-all, or do you worry about elements of the performance?
No, not really, because it's a cup semi-final, you know, and the other team's got nothing to lose, you know, and these games can go either one way or the other. And I've seen it in the past where they've went the other, you know. So nothing would surprise me today, but I'm just glad it went the way it went, you know, just on a personal basis.
Yeah, it was such great drama. I suppose Celtic were never really heading out, if that makes sense. I mean, they've certainly made it very difficult, but it was always Celtic in the driving seat, Aberdeen sucker punch, Celtic in the driving seat, Aberdeen sucker punch.
Yeah.
I don't even really know if I'm trying to make any huge conclusion about that, but I don't want to take credit away from Aberdeen. They deserve it for the character they showed. But when you're Celtic and you get yourself in that position twice, uh-huh. if you manage things better, you can avoid all that drama.
Yeah, and they should have managed things better. And quite simply, from the second minute when Mayovsky scores and Carter Vickers is suspect until the end of extra time, Celtic were extremely suspect at the back. And in the cold light of day, I understand that every day we have a nice Saturday night in the sunshine, but in the cold light of day tomorrow, if they defend like that in the last five post-split games, they have no chance.
Yeah, and because I'm talking about, you know, those moments that you get wrong. I know you guys, understandably, and you're the right back specialist, Mark, former PFA Scotland Team of the Year,
yes,
as we found out earlier on, in what Alistair Johnson should have done for the first equaliser. But again, I just want to talk about decision making. Lewis Palmer, you know, when Celtic
in the middle
the
of the pitch, he's got it here, and he tries an ambitious half turn, half volley, and he gives it away so easy. But at that time, you're right when you called at the time, Celtic's back four is so far in. But when the ball gets to Hoylett, I just think you need to get in line with the cross and get out a wee bit quicker. Yep. I thought he almost invited it. Almost, you know what I almost thought? He's not got the quality to put this in. And by the way, he had the quality twice.
You know, this sounds like I'm on some sort of mission to dig out Lewis Palmer and not Alistair Johnson.
Extremely poor.
I suppose I'm wondering, is that not the easier bit? You know, inevitably at some point in a game, a fullback might not quite get to across quick enough, or he might have you backtracking a bit into your box, but the easy bit, the bit where you're in control in the middle of the pitch and it's the clock's ticking down, these are the bits that would have avoided the drama for Celtic.
I thought Celtic were guilty of that most of the game, Gordon, to be quite honest with you. A few easy passes that should never went astray. Celtic, unlike them, were giving the ball away cheaply and they get punished for it. Yes, you can look at Palmer, but I still agree with Mark. I think if right back, got to get out there quicker and at least try and close it down. But all credit to Aberdeen. That's a terrific ball in and a good finish.
Thank you very much to James on the line. It's 01419511025. Keep the calls coming and we'll speak to you next.
The games are over. The talking begins. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
It's been a long old day in Scottish football. A lot has happened and lots to look back on. So keep your calls coming on 01419511025. These were Brendan Rodgers' thoughts on Celtic's performance.
Yeah, listen, I think big credit is to both sets of players. I thought, you know, what we made a disappointing start in the game. They get the goal and scored a very good goal. But as you say, our players came back into it. get the equaliser, and then we have a bit more control in the game. And then at the beginning of the second half, we started to then find a rhythm and control the ball a lot more, and that allows us then to create opportunities. Jamesy Forrest coming in was brilliant in the game. He gives us that real ability to keep the ball, because in the first half we arrive up in the final third of the pitch and we weren't securing the ball. So he comes in and starts to combine, starts to keep the ball, gets the goal, and then we've got other chances to close the game out. But credit to Aberdeen as well, because they kept fighting, they kept coming back. But by the end, the players showed a big heart and real nerve to win the shootout.
Well, you can't argue with the heart and nerve aspect, but I think he's airbrushed the defensive mistakes out. But they come back to that in the week, because he's got to go to Dens Park next weekend, and they have to defend better at Dens Park than they did at Hampden.
We're about to reach, in about 11 days or so, forgive me if I'm a day out, the 14th anniversary of James Forrest's first Celtic goal, Mark Wilson. It was the 1st of May 2010, Celtic 4 Motherwell 0. 14 years on, and he's still scoring big goals for Celtic.
It's just an incredible career James has had. Could you foresee something like that at the time? Probably not. I knew he was a talent, a real talent. I knew he would go on and have a good Celtic career, but probably thought he'd be like a lot of other Celtic players, like a, I don't know, Maloney or a McGeady. He would maybe move on to other things. To have that longevity at Celtic with that amount of honours and that amount of goals and everything else, assists, is quite incredible. And through so many different managers, so many different styles, to keep going and then to be still at the forefront at this time of the season under a different Brendan Rodgers regime is quite something.
Because, Gordon, I wonder, that's a couple of Celtic managers now, and his age and whatever else. So he's only 32, but, you know, in relative terms, maybe James Forrest isn't the man to start games for Celtic anymore. But I do wonder if there's a real difference between starting games and coming off the bench, to the point where if you're going to change the wingers, he needs to be the first one that comes on rather than
Palmer.
Well, look, Maeda's injured at the moment. But do you know what I mean? Rather than Yang or Palma or whoever, fine if they're chosen to start the match because of whatever it is that they can offer off the ball and the fresher legs. But if you're going to make the change, I wonder if he needs to be that one. Is he the one that, if you need a goal, I suppose, is what I'm asking.
100%. You. Not in the fact even a goal. I think he can create. I think he brings that wealth of experience. James Forrest has been there and done it many times at Hampden, been the situation where Celtic needs something to give them a lift. He's provided that. He knows the club inside out. I keep saying it, Gordon, I think that get to 32 and you start looking at all the new players that teams bring in, you go, right, okay, we're writing him off. I always said for day one, since that happened, James Forrest is still a big part to play for Celtic.
What did you take away from today, John?
Right, sorry guys, the first thing I would like to say is about Mark and Gordon sharing a room.
What a sad life you must have.
I wanted to forget it, John.
This is the news that you two are going to have to share a room at the Euros for 12 days. I mean, it's enough to ruin Andy's night, John.
That's cracked me up. Honestly, cracked me up. And Mark,
who do you think you'll talk to Mark in 12 days?
Who do you think should be the big spoon, John?
Well, see, Mark went and just sindied himself, right?
He didn't.
Mark was got to just be the wee spoon. I don't understand it.
I know, Mark, I thought that was quite revealing. You immediately just said that you'd be the wee spoon.
I'd just roll over and gee up. I wouldn't want to fight this guy. Look at the size of him. He's the most experienced, that is what I have to say.
If that's the case, it's going to be a good 12 days.
Oh my word. Please, John, just talk about the game today, if you don't mind.
So the day-to-day, the game, okay, Celtic were, I don't know, a bit kind of a slow in the uptake. I thought Celtic went and held back a bit. Aberdeen, they came out of the traps and they were decent against us. But when Celtic went 3-2, I thought, right, that's it, done. Surely that's it. And then 3-each. To go to penalties, I was be honest, I was a bit rattled because recent taking for Celtic taking penalties, I thought, oh no, here we go. When Big Joe stood up to take his penalty, I thought it was like, all right, he's about to beat Artur Boric, right? But it never worked out quite as well. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't a good penalty. But anyways, he managed to save and save himself, which was brilliant. And happy birthday, Joe Hart.
Is it his birthday today?
No, Friday.
Oh, Friday, was it? Well, still, yeah. It's birthday weekend.
37, half my age.
There's a thought. Yeah, Mark, ultimately it is. It's funny because the focus, and I think, understand this because it's so unusual, but the focus has gone to the fact that he took a penalty rather than that he saved a decisive one.
And you know what, he guessed the right way another two times. He probably should have saved two before that. So he had a mixed bag when it came to the penalty shootout. The most important thing though is saving the crucial one, because you become a hero. But you could even see with Joe Hart, I don't think he wanted to celebrate one until he knew it was verified. But two, I think he understood the situation. He'd probably put his team in a couple of moments before.
Well, he didn't look like it. He was winking and smiling and all.
Well, that's the bit I found
that's
weird.
Confidence.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would like that. I'm not sure if I was in that Celtic team standing on the halfway line and he's just missed a penalty, if I would enjoy him turning around and winking and smiling to me.
I'll tell you what, if you had seen him winking for the halfway line, you're in the wrong game. You don't see a player winking for the penalty spot. It
sounds very picky. I think he's trying to take the
I think that's Joe Hart's, the way, that's his personality. Yeah, I think he's confident in his own ability. Joe Hart during the game had some good saves today. He was unlucky with the first goal as well. Yeah. Made it very hard for Majorski. But to step up there, take the penalty kick, and then save the one that puts him in, no problem.
What did you make of Team of the Year that was announced earlier, John?
To be honest with you, it was kind of a balanced, right? Yeah. But going from, and obviously I'm a Celtic fan, right? But if you look at the past couple of weeks and the calls for the Rangers fans, they're all kind of disgruntled about Lundstrom. So I don't know if he should be in the midfield. But obviously, the strikers up front, Bear and Shanklin, they take their penalties and they score their goals, so that's okay.
I think what's funny is we're seeing that sometimes you are critical of your own team. We had loads of replies to that on Twitter. I'd say the most popular disagreement was probably John Lundstrom, and a lot of Rangers fans were on saying, "Ah, when they picked John Lundstrom in it," and a lot of Celtic fans were on saying, "I wouldn't have put Liam Scales in it." So
when
professionals have had their say.
Expiry date for votes?
Yeah, I think it's been a bit more of a gradual thing. It's not all done in the one day, but maybe so from, say, the last, probably the last couple of weeks, ending some point at the end of last week.
Everything in Rangers Garden was rosy a week ago, and then came Dingwall and Dens. Even today's result, you know, the Rangers fans would have thought, oh, we're going to get a consolation prize. You're certainly going to get knocked out in penalties in the cup.
I'm going to give a guy a bit of credit that's in the team that I don't think should be in the team, right? And because I think that much of him as a footballer, I don't think McGregor should be in the middle of the park. I don't think McGregor's lived to the heights that we're used to seeing Callum McGregor. That's a compliment.
But
of people
is that the difficult bit though? Is Callum McGregor's average level or below average level still higher than the other midfielders in the country?
Well, if that's the case, then it's a sad
thing. Think it'd be some of the big games. So remember against Rangers at Celtic Park, McGregor absolutely ran the game. Those are ones that stick in players' minds. But I agree with you, he's been well under par from his standard. But there has been still good games in there that takes him above anybody else in that position.
Differentiate, O'Reilly's been brilliant, right? And I think Scales, for what he's achieved, I know that Celtic fans are starting to now look and think going forward he's maybe not the same, but what he's achieved this season, I think he deserves his place.
If it was your choice, if you got the iPad for some reason, they thought you were still a player, are you going Liam Scales, Lewis Mayo, or Frankie Kent?
I'm going probably, I think Scales has been different class, but I'll go Mayo.
So he doesn't deserve his place.
I'm talking about the Celtic.
You have unpicked.
Hold on. I'm talking about the two Celtic players.
Right.
The difference, who would deserve it, Scales or McGregor, okay, if you're picking Celtic?
Other names are available, but Scales, Mayo, or Kent for you?
Between Mayo and Kent for me, I would say Kent. I'm going to go Kent.
I've had a real bad day. I walked right into that one.
Literally within 10 seconds, he unpicked your argument.
No, but I've not got a problem with Scales being in there. I think that, I don't know.
He was right, McGregor. Maybe time does play a part. And you, that's the whole point, is an individual accolade, if you like. Two of the three strikers are in the bottom six. Yeah. You know, Bojan Miovski and Theo Bear. I don't think you would grudge either of them. But no, it just so happens that they've not been part of a team unit that did good things in the league.
Timing's always an issue with the PFA awards, because I'm thinking of Manager of the Year. The awards dinner is May 5.
Oh, how are you going to pick that? Seriously?
Yeah. And you have an Old Firm derby 6 days later. So you give it to Brendan Rodgers and then Philippe Clement wins the title. Or you give it to Philippe Clement and then Brendan Rodgers wins the title.
Well,
so
I've got this mad notion, right, that it doesn't have to be one of those two.
Correct.
Can you imagine?
But where do you go then?
Win tomorrow, Stephen A. Smith. Third place in a cup final.
Yeah, great shout. I think Derek McInnes comes under the banner of having a terrific season.
Well, do you
especially
go,
the big results.
Do you credit someone like John McGlynn, unbeaten at Falkirk, and they've won
good
tomorrow?
Shout, oh, yeah, good shout. Yeah, Hugh, good shout. Yeah, if there's no outstanding candidate or things aren't tied up and there's jeopardy for both Brendan Rodgers, Philippe Clement, then maybe you do have to look elsewhere. But it's the managers that vote for it.
Anyway, that's we can have that debate next week. Don't steal the topics for next week's show in case we get a quiet night, because we've still to have the proper Player of the Year debate, which I'm looking forward to. I feel like we've usually done it by now, but we've had some busy weeks. You know, pitches, games postponed, that sort of thing has meant it's been very busy. But thank you to John in Blantyre on the line. I was just thinking back to Brendan Rodgers, sort of focusing on the positives, or talking about, you know, just getting through the cup tie. And it reminded me of, although he was all conquering in his first spell here, there was a League Cup tie at Celtic Park where Dunfermline took Celtic to extra time. Nobody remembers it. Nobody cares. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, oh my, I cannot believe the embarrassment of Dunfermline taking you to extra time. Funnily enough, it was James Forrest that scored an extra time for Celtic.
See, another thing we've highlighted today, and rightly so, and Hugh's come out about how poorly Celtic's defence have been. But if you flip that, this is a cup tie today. If you flip it over a season, 33 games have lost 26 goals. So their defence over a season has been very, very good. Today, probably Brendan Rodgers wouldn't have been happy with what was going on. But the main objective was to get in the final, and they achieved that.
I know it was all terribly exciting, and I've said I cannot think of a cup tie in my lifetime that has been more exciting than that. But you know, Celtic had it in regulation time, lost a last minute goal. Celtic had it in extra time, lost a last minute goal. You know, you've got to be more resilient than that.
Just as an aside, since we're talking about personnel, I'm starting to get a bit anxious about this stuff. Aaron Hickey and Nathan Patterson and Lewis Ferguson, Stuart Armstrong stretchered off for Scotland today. Now, I don't know if Stuart Armstrong features in many people's version of Scotland's strongest starting 11 anymore, but he absolutely is banging that squad and contributing if he's fit.
Well, he's a big impact player for us when we need pace or power, and at the top end of the pitch, Stuart Armstrong's usually one that comes on and contributes in that respect. So he will be a big miss. He certainly wasn't going to be a starter, there's no doubt in that. But it just adds to the problems. But it was all sailing along quite nicely. Now they're starting to pile up, and time is in short supply. So the right back is a big issue. I'm trying to rack my brain. So who else have we got to fill that position? Patterson's certainly out.
Yeah. it's going to be a worrying time. Just keep the fingers crossed. I want to mention a few teams and individuals who deserve a bit of praise. As we alluded to, Mark Wilson, Breakin missed out. Well done to Bucky Thistle, winners of the Highland League. They will now take on East Kilbride, winners of the Lowland League, and the winner of that will take on whoever finishes bottom of the SPFL for a place in the SPFL. I wanted to give a big mention as well to Scotland's World Championship winning, how good does that sound, cerebral palsy squad. Oh. Over the last 2 weeks, the championships took part in Salou, won the final a couple of days ago. So I was speaking to Jamie Kelly earlier. Well done to Jamie and all the rest of the team. The most successful Scotland team in history, he says. So brilliant. Well done to everyone involved there. And you'll like this, Hugh, because it's a Clyde Bank theme. You know Clyde Bank midfielder Nicky Lowe, you remember him, Aberdeen and Dundee. Well, he today walked from Rankin Park in Greenock all the way to Celtic Park and back again to raise money in memory of Joe Cook, who tragically passed away in May last year. So raising a bit of money there. So well done to some individuals and teams that deserve our praise. We'll take more of your calls next. 1025 Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line. 12 o'clock, we started. What a lot of football has passed us by today. It's been absolutely incredible. We're nearly there. We're taking your calls. We could look ahead to tomorrow. That might be a nice idea because the two teams, no pressure, Hearts and Rangers, if you're listening, in the entertainment stakes, you've got quite a bit to live up to, but the priority remains the same. It doesn't really matter whether it's good or bad, or whether you're lucky or not, or whether you, whatever, get through to that final.
The Rangers fans are looking at the game and thinking, if we fail after four wins over Hearts already this season, we are in trouble. The Hearts fans are looking and thinking, never mind the four defeats that Hearts have suffered against Rangers, they're in trouble after Dingwall and Dens. So it's got that aspect attached to it. Both think that a defeat would be a very, very bad thing. Of course it is, it's a cup semi-final. But if Rangers were to lose, it would be seen on top of Dingwall and Dens Park as being consistent with a team that's totally lost its way.
Well, let's bring in William and get his thoughts. William, are you as excited as you should be for a semi-final, or has the last 6 days put a bit of a dent in that?
Yeah, hello Gordon, Gordon, Hugh and Mark.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm coming on today. I wouldn't say excited, Gordon. I'm going to issue a rallying cry to my team, right? As a Rangers fan, and many millions of Rangers fans in the world have spent fortunes on this team. I'm 54, right? And I've spent unbelievable amounts of money. All I want tomorrow is a bit of guts. Roll up these sleeves. I don't care how they do it. If it's penalty kicks, I want to see them going out there and putting on a performance for their fans that's going to go there tomorrow. And all the ones worldwide, because their last two games have been nothing short of shambolic, right? Especially when the season Rangers have had, they've been very, very good at times in the season. But it's no this is no the time to throw everything away. I'll say to Tavernier, your Golsons, your Lundstroms, even Wee McCausland and people like that, get your sleeves rolled up tomorrow and get right into it. Let's go.
I'm sure they're all listening. I'm sure they'll be suitably fired up now. But that is it, Mark. There's no secret. At cup semi-final, we applied it to the Celtic Aberdeen game. Just get through.
That's it.
Really
yeah.
matter. But particularly the week that Rangers have had, it would somehow, it would make defeat worse, wouldn't it?
Oh, because of course
any cup semi-final defeat's bad, but if it comes at the end of that week, it's just like the Rangers fans feel like the world's crashing down.
Well, no doubt about it. There'd be a severe pile on. The phone lines would be red hot. The wheels would have come off, so on and so forth. So Rangers players must know what's riding on their shoulders here for this game tomorrow, because it is huge in their season. You know, again, the story has been going one way up until last week for Philippe Clement's side. Secured the first trophy, you know, progressed in Europe, caught Celtic, then had the opportunity to overtake them, semi-final of the cup. If that has to come crashing down within 6 or 7 days, then, you know, it leaves them in an awful position. So, and plus, look, the pressure on Rangers, huge. Hearts, slightly free hit for them. They're third place, they're secure, they're, you know, what have they got to lose? Yeah. But like the dangerous opponent Aberdeen were for Celtic, they had nothing to lose today.
You are supposed to be excited, you know, ahead of cup semi-finals. Mm. Gordon Williams admitting that it's hard to be as excited as you might otherwise be had you not witnessed Dingwall and Dens Park. It's such a quick week. The last time the four of us were together in here, it was assumed by many, to be fair, not just my learned colleague Hugh Keevans, that this was the week Rangers would go top, and it's been far from it.
We all thought they'd be going into a semi-final league leaders, but what today showed you, and the evidence of this game, that league form really doesn't stand for a lot. This is cup football. This is about on the day. This is about how you react to disappointments, how you can go and see out a game, how you can hold your nerve and apparently shoot out. I think we're in for a cracker tomorrow. Don't know if it'll be as good as what we got today.
Are you fearful in any way, William, or do you actually think Rangers will respond to your rallying cry?
Well, here's the thing, Gordon and Pano, right? I think this game could suit Rangers tomorrow, and the reason I'm going to tell you is Hearts will not sit in, like maybe Dundee, possibly Ross County, I know they scored 3 goals, but I think this will be an open game. Surely, when the spaces open up, that will suit Rangers. Rangers will need to knock a block down. The Hearts will come on to them, and I think the bigger pitch, the fans and everything, I think we'll just get over the line.
Worrying things about Rangers, and where William's rallying cry was pertinent, was that the Rangers fans have looked at Ross County and Dundee and thought, gutless. And that's a heck of an allegation to be thrown at you. So William is looking for something that cannot possibly be described as gutless. So that will add to the tension. And Philippe Clement didn't react well in Dingwall. He later corrected himself, but he didn't react well at the final whistle going up the tunnel, ignoring Don Cowie. And he didn't react well at Dundee when he came up with a version of events that didn't equate with anyone else's view of the game, particularly Dujon Sterling. So for Philippe Clement tomorrow, there's a lot on his shoulders, because for the first time since he got here, he's hit a brick wall, and it's how he responds.
I don't think William's necessarily wrong, because it might pan out that way. It might pan out to be the type of game that suits Rangers. The only thing, I wouldn't say Dundee sat back, and I don't think Ross County did either. We said earlier though, Celtic, you know, Hampden, it's that big wide pitch and so on, and it still might be different. But actually, they both played a bit.
Yeah, and Hearts can play. Let's not be kidded here, and they're in good form. I know you, but I said earlier, don't take the league form in, but they've got good players. They've got guys at the top end of the pitch that can score goals, like Majovski for Aberdeen today. They've got Shanklin, who's been absolutely brilliant. It's how they defend tomorrow. It's a neutral ground. Rangers will have most of the support there.
That's, I agree with 50-50 though.
Is it? Sorry, 50-50 I agree with Hugh.
You're having a good day with the predictions.
I'm having a nightmare. I agree with you, and this is how bad a day I'm having. I'm agreeing with you that since the first day Clement's walked into the building, he's been loved, adored. If he did lose us tomorrow, there'd be a bit of pressure put on him.
Just to apply something, Mark, that might make absolutely no difference, and to make it all about me for a second, maybe it's just been scarred of years of coming up against Rangers and Celtic, the big two. Now, I accept Hearts are further up the pecking order than Motherwell would be, but still, you go into these games as underdogs, and sometimes the ones that bite you in the backside the most are the ones when you think you've got a chance. You go, they're there to be got at, they're vulnerable, they're fragile, we can get at these, and then you forget that they're still overwhelming favourites despite all that, and you lose, and you wonder where you got your optimism from. How does Stephen Naismith and Hearts make sure that's not the case?
Yeah, you forget that they have got better players, and if they turn up and play to their levels than you do, then they're going to win. Like, what Hearts have got with Stephen Naismith, though, to their advantage, is a guy who's been in that Rangers dressing room and understands the pressures that's on the Rangers player's shoulder. To have someone like that delivering your team talk and helping you understand how to apply pressure at the right times, it's got to be incredibly useful. So they've got to use that to the best of their ability, and I'm sure they will. But look, there's no doubt, same with Celtic today, if Rangers drop below their level and Hearts play to their top level, then we've got a game in our hands.
Any thoughts on the team, William? A few players have been getting a bit of stick recently.
I think Diamandi coming back, I know he wasn't great against Celtic, but he's been really good. You know what I mean? I think I would give, I'd put my cause on Don, because he gave a lot when he came on the last 10-15 minutes. He's a wee difference maker. I hope Yilmaz makes it so we can get Stirling further up the pitch. I think these boys coming in, maybe Balogun in the defence as well, take out Souter. I don't know, goals has not been great, but I'd take out Souter and get Balogun in there for his physicality and his pace.
I think you are about the only Rangers supporter I would have picked Souter over Goulson. I think if anybody's got to drop out in defence for Balogun, it'll be Goulson.
But will he though? No, I know what you mean, but can you see a cup semi-final where Conor Goulson
I think this will show you what Philip Clement's about. I really do, because he has got a decision. If Balogun is fully fit, he's got to make a big decision.
He's not leaving out Goulson either,
is
right,
he?
Right, well, there you go.
I'm asking, because he's never done it.
I think Goulson's probably in his poorest form since he arrived at Rangers, and I think he's come under criticism from the supporters.
You wouldn't have said this a couple of months ago. How important is it that for Rangers that Ridvan Yilmaz makes it?
Oh, without doubt. He's been outstanding left back at the club for a good while.
Question mark over him was the quote.
Well, that would be a blow. I mean, Sterling plays there, he's fine, but just natural balance. You want Yilmaz, I think he brings a lot to you going forward, but he's a much better defender
Roof
than Barisic.
Dessers.
I could not believe Roof came into the team the other night. That's just a pluck, a name at the tombola. Oh, it's Roof. He's not played in ages, but we'll throw him in. That's the magic ball.
What?
If Roof will start tomorrow.
Will Kamar Roof start tomorrow? Oh my God.
It's undecided. It's like Clement just now. He's thinking.
Cannot foretell now.
Magic ball. Again,
it's not much a magic ball.
Don't ask
it?
You to keep your cards never close to your chest. Make a prediction, for goodness sake. Yeah. Piece of junk. Anyway, let's hear from Philippe Clement ahead of that one.
Of course. To win, you need a better performance than we had on Wednesday. For sure. But if, and that was the question, was the performance better than Ross County? Yes, it was. We need a better one now to go to the final that everybody knows. We need to take the right lessons and we need to do the right things against Hearts, who play a really good season and they were really successful. So it's a very interesting test, again, for the players. And I know they're all hungry to go to that final. They had the experience already. To go to a final and to win it also, some of them won already several, so the hunger is big.
Up against Stephen Naismith, of course.
Since I've been here as a player, we've been quite consistent in the later rounds of the Cups. The one thing that's missing is actually winning one. That's the big bit. But as I said, it's hard work. It's hard work getting to this point. It's hard work to get through this. This is an opportunity to get a final. And that's a demand from the club. If we win, we win and we get to the final. And we've still not won it. We still need to go and win the final. But so that's why it's an opportunity. We are a much different team now than we were then. As I said, we've learned from our mistakes in games, which have now put us in a position where our form's been good since probably the last month of last year, in terms of league points and where we've come through the cups. We've matched the teams at the top of the table. The next steps of that are getting through and winning trophies. That's all I'm thinking about. It's the next step to get that opportunity to lift the trophy.
That's tomorrow, and we'll get there, Hugh. But you've seen a lot in Scottish football, and I mean it in the nicest way possible. How would you sum up what you saw today?
It beggars belief. It beggars proper description. But it was the most thrilling game of the season, and I include 3-3 between Rangers and Celtic at Ibrox. And the penalty shootout was a separate life form, in which Celtic's goalkeeper misses a penalty and then saves the penalty that puts Celtic into the final against Rangers or Hearts. It was, as a spectacle, phenomenal.
It was indeed, and hopefully we get the same drama tomorrow. Congratulations to Celtic for getting into the cup final. Commiserations to Aberdeen, who more than played their part. Will it be Rangers or will it be Hearts? Find out tomorrow. We will be back. A bumper weekend for Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 2 p.m. Meet us here, and the GBX is up next.